Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we're in Chapter 2, There is a Solution, on page 17. We'll be reading and commenting on the second paragraph that begins, We are average Americans, through Held Us Together as We Are Now Joined. Today's readers are for the 12 Steps, Patrick O., the 12 Traditions, Layla M., readers of the text, Vanessa G. and Nancy R. Our newcomer greeter today is Anne Marie M. A second hour host is Leah S., and announcements will be given by Kathy S. The share IDs for yesterday, Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,358. That's 21358. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,360. That's 21360. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patrick O. to please read the 12 steps. Patrick, press star one. I can't hear you. We still can't hear you, Patrick O. Press star one. Well, Patrick O. was on the line. Oh, there's somebody.
Patrick O.
There you are, Patrick.
So sorry, I don't know what was happening. Hi, Patrick O., compulsive eater. This 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe in that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening and as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your service this morning, Patrick O. And I will now ask Layla M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Layla M. I'm a grateful recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Layla M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in Chapter 2. There is a solution on page 17. We'll be reading and commenting on the second paragraph that begins, "We are average Americans," through "held us together as we are now joined." And I'll now ask Vanessa G. to please begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vanessa G., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And this is the second paragraph in Chapter 2. "We are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding, which is indescribably wonderful. We are like the passengers of a great liner. The moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement which binds us, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined." The first time I was handed a Big Book, typical for me anyway, I thumbed through it, looked you know, to see where I wanted to actually start, because I always did that with any book. And I found this chapter, There is a Solution, and that's actually where I started to read. So this is actually the first page I ever read in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe for that reason, it's the most important chapter to me, because I really feel that if I hadn't found a solution, if I hadn't seen that there was a solution to my problem, I would not have stayed, because I wouldn't have really been able to fully realize the depth of my situation, the absolute fatality that I was facing. It talks here about being shipwrecked, you know, just barely escaping, you know, drowning or death, or and that's really exactly what was happening to me. I was, just barely, I know that. I had COVID. I was drowning from my obesity in my, you know, and I got on the line and heard everyone talking about being recovered, having solved their problem of compulsive eating. And I knew that there was an answer here. And that answer kept me here. The passion in your voices, the feeling of joy that I could hear coming out of the telephone line, just the powerful cement that I could feel binding all of you, was so evident that I was able to really plant myself down, take my seat, and listen every day since. This meeting has become a part of my life. It is the way I start almost every day. And it really has not just become a part of my life, it's given me a life. I am alive today as a result of the instructions in this book, the solution that is shown to me in this book. And I'm so grateful to be here this morning. And thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Ms. D, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday on any of the vision meetings, we ask you to hold back. And who would like to share on what was read?
Kristen P.
Janet B.
Kristen.
Nancy P.
Nancy.
Reva.
Linda. Reva. Linda, I think.
Lynn F.
Oh, Lynn.
Maya K.
David M.
Maya K.
Maya K.
I got you, Maya. David M.
Thanks.
Okay, must have been Lynn S. Okay, let me tell you what I have. Kristen is up first. I didn't get the first initial of your last name. Janet B, Nancy P, Reva P, Reva P, Lynn S, Maya K, and David M. So Kristen T, you are up first, followed by Janet B.
Hey, I'm Kristen P, recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. I love this passage because Joe and Charlie talks about it in one of their tapes about when the Titanic sunk, he didn't think that any of them checked financial statements of the people that they were going to help each other, you know. And ever since I was a little girl, I knew that it seemed right for all people to be together. So once I got here, and I've seen it was different than religion, and everybody was kind of together helping each other, and it's being a two-hatter coming from another fellowship from, you know, I've been in that other fellowship for 17 years. You know, these are my people. Y'all are my people, people in 12-step programs. No matter what 12-step program I go to, you know, y'all are my people. And food was my last addiction that left. So when I got here, it was like, that was the piece of the puzzle that just made everything make sense. this is why I am the way I am. And there's a solution, you know, and I'm so grateful, so, so grateful. I had to change the vision meeting from Scottsdale because of my work schedule and because it's so late. And I had a hard time with this transition. And so I'm just trying to get in here and trying to be a part and hopefully start serving too. Thanks for letting me share a path.
Thank you, Kristen T. from Georgia. And Janet B., you're up, followed by Nancy P.
Hi, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So I'm looking at that line that the feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element that binds us. And that's how I felt when I went to my first OA meeting. I was in high school. I was already binging and like leaving class to go to the mall and buy binge foods. And I was already a hardcore compulsive eater. And when I went to my first Overeaters Anonymous meeting, I felt like I am home. Here are other people who do what I do, who binge like I do, who obsess about food all the time. And it was great feeling that, you know, I had fellows that, we shared in this common peril, this common illness. And for about 7 years, I kept loving the people and I kept binging. And I had fellowship. I had people who encouraged me, who were nice to me, but I kept binging because the fellowship alone doesn't do it. The fellowship alone is never put forth as the solution. Later on in this chapter, they say really what the solution is. They say, but for the grace of God, there would have been so many more illustrations of people drinking themselves to death. So while the fellowship was helpful and loving me, what I needed was a miracle. And people can't give a miracle, right? By definition, that's only something God could give. And finally, I was at an OA convention, eating compulsively at the convention, and someone stood up with a big book and said she hadn't binged in a year. In my 7 years, I never even got 30 days. And I went up to her and I said, tell me what to do. And she very patiently started showing me how to get a relationship with God, how these 12 steps lead us to have a miracle where God comes into our hearts and lives in a way which is miraculous and kind of rearranges us so that we're not so self-centered, so that we only think about what do I want. We think about what does God want? How can I help others? And it's like the soil of our soul changes and the illness of compulsive eating can no longer live in a soil that's all about God and all about helping others. So while the fellowship was great to know that I wasn't alone, it took nothing less than a miracle to remove my food obsession. And so now I'm able to thank God, go into meetings and help new people, yes, find fellowship. Yes, you're not alone, but also to find the answer, which is a life surrendered to God so that he can work miracles in us. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina, and Nancy P., you're up, followed by Reva P.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for letting me share. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. average Americans. But I feel like, you know, before I recovered, I wasn't average only because I was just angrier than most people. I think that. I was just always angry about something. And my feelings ran from, like, the best I could do was slightly aggravated to, you know, blinding rage. And you know, even though I was sick of it, it took me almost 5 decades to really become a part of the fellowship. Everybody else seemed already to bond with other people easily, love them. And I sat at meetings for decades angry, jealous, and resentful about how come them and not me? How come them and not me? And, you know, everybody treated me, or everybody, their demeanor was, you know, that we were fellowship and friendliness and understanding. And I didn't want that. I never had it. But I also said I didn't want it because I just thought, why do I want to hang around with these losers, you know, that hang around in meetings all the time and talk about golf all the time and yuck, I couldn't imagine, you know, anything worse. But, you know, my life wasn't done beating me into a state of reasonableness. You know, I had to go pretty far down worse than the binging and the sneaking and the hiding and the lying and cheating and, you know, all that, you know, my life had to take me beyond that, you know, beyond anything that I could ever have imagined, and the fear and the pain and my rage only grew and my fear only grew. And, you know, when I was really done, you know, it wasn't dramatic. I was sitting in my car sobbing over a box of donuts when I called my dear friend and she told me about this meeting, and I grudgingly, you know, took the information and dialed in, and the first moment that I got into the meeting, I don't think I was there before it. I think I got on right at 7 o'clock or maybe 7:03, and people were already talking about what they all talk about, what we all talk about today, and I was changed in that moment. Because I had never, in all the years, the tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of meetings that I had gone to, from my first year to my entrance into A Vision for You, I had never heard people sound, everybody sound like that. Everybody. Everybody was the same. They all sounded like they were better, all of them, to a person. And, you know, I never had that. I never heard that. And today, you know, I started to do this burn, I started to catch fire, and this fire became a conflagration and a huge thing that consumed me. And today I'm still on fire. And I talk about, you know, my own joy. Like, they don't use that word very, very often in this book. I can't, you know, I'm not a big book scholar, so I don't know, but I feel like joy doesn't come up. But that's what my life is made up today, of joy and light and exuberance, and it gets stronger and bigger every day. I'm still on fire, worse, more than I ever was. You know, I tell my sponsees it burns with the heat of 1,000 suns, and even then, better things are yet in store. They talk about powerful cement, but superglue had not been invented. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. And Reva P. You're up, followed by Lynn S.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. I will never forget the hope that I felt when I read the title of this chapter, and it's the letterhead of every single page of the chapter. So whenever I get discouraged, there is a solution, there is a solution, there is a solution at the top of every page. And, you know, I can't look at this paragraph in isolation because this page for me talks about, you know, if the problem is lack of power, that here is where I get power. I have the power of the fellowship. And then in the paragraph to come, more so, I have the power of the steps. And for me, the power of these fellowship, and I know it's human aid and the steps and helping me find this power greater than myself, having a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps, they're so interwoven. They're so integrated. There are times when the people in the fellowship, you know, I'll make an outreach call and I am encouraged to go do the step work to clear my channel and deepen my relationship with this power. And there are times that I'm sitting still, you know, connecting with the power, and it encourages me to get out there and be of usefulness in the fellowship, out of the fellowship. And I am so grateful for the gods with skin on who pull me back onto this path. These past few weeks have been incredibly challenging. And I love the imagery of people who are trying to escape a disaster. And no, we don't go our separate ways. These are people who are, we are all committed to this way of life. And it's like, you know, I fall in the ditch, somebody pulls me out. I get pulled out, I pull the next person out. It's just so integrated, and I need both. I can't work the steps in isolation, and I can't just do fellowship. Someone used the analogy, it's like reading a menu. If I just read the big book and talk about the big book, but I never eat the food kind of thing. Like, you know, I have to do both. But I am so grateful for the people who walk this walk and were bound to this way of life, which is, you know, relying on this power greater than myself and constantly connecting with that power. So, yeah, we don't just go our own merry ways. We we stay here because this is now a way of life. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And Lynn S., you're up, followed by Maya K.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, I just had a flashback in May of 1989 when I came into program. A whole new world opened up to me. I just couldn't believe that there was a way out of this incredibly painful, completely annihilating of soul and spirit existence that I had gone through for 36 years, and all of a sudden there was hope. And I remember coming home one day and so excited because I just wanted to, I wanted to read, and I wanted to read There Is a Solution. I wanted to immerse myself in this hope. And this line spoke to me today, and I'm not a warm, fuzzy person, I must admit, but there exists among us a fellowship of friendliness and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. Now, that is not the solution. Goes on to tell us, you know, tremendous fact and getting on more. But for somebody like me, an outcast in my own mind, and I think in the world too, that never fit in anywhere, not in my family, not in the world, not in a theater seat, not in a turnstile, not with anybody, anywhere. And this line just reminded me of how I felt coming home that day, being able to read in this book that there was a solution for me. I did belong. I did fit in. And to know that there were others, a fellowship of friendliness and understanding. I'd never experienced that in my whole life. And this book, What There Is a Solution, led me to the solution. And how wonderful wasn't it to finally have a church basement, a church, imagine that, where I could go and sit with other people and hear the solution and be presented with the 12 steps and be guided by somebody who took me through them. And how fortunate was I way back then when OA wasn't that strong in Toronto to find a very small group that got it. They got the message and they handed it to me. I am so grateful. This was an incredible flashback brought on by one sentence. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn S. And Maya K., you're up, followed by David M. Maya, press star one. We can't hear you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Great. Okay, sorry. Hi, I'm Maya K. I'm from NIAC. I'm compulsive overeater in recovery for today and bulimic. Yeah, I love this reading. I've heard it so many times, and it just brings me back to like my first meeting. It was in Moravian Church. And this little guy came up to me because I didn't feel like, I didn't know if I belonged because I wasn't, 100 pounds overweight. And he just took my hand and just said, "Is your life unmanageable?" And I was like, of course. I had just quit a job because of my weight, and I couldn't stop eating. And it just was so amazing. It was almost like, you know, I'm just drowning a little. Do I belong here? You know, it's like, yes, get in the boat. You know, it's just such an amazing way to look at program, this boat analogy, because it really makes the whole disease about taking away, it makes a common denominator with the disease, it really doesn't matter what, you know, how much money you have, how much you don't have, your age. It, you know, it does not discriminate, this disease. It will try to kick anyone's butt. And doesn't matter who you are. And it'll take anyone down, no matter how much you have or don't have. And it's like the great equalizer. And I also believe, you know, that this program gave me a way to find a higher power that also doesn't discriminate and will love everyone, and whatever that is to anyone. I once had a teacher who said, you know, as far as a religion goes or higher power, he said, pick a flavor. You know, how can I tell someone you don't like broccoli? You know, I have my own version of a higher power that works for me. And these steps really help me find a way to deal with life as it unfolds without food, and turning it over to a higher power and not taking things into my hands. And even with my sponsor, when I talk to her, sometimes there are problems that are too big that both of us will pray and turn it over to a higher power. And she'll ask me to pray for someone. And it feels so good not having to analyze everything anymore and just trust and watch how things really fold the way they do, and like how miracles happen even, and things turn out better than I would have expected. So I just really like this this reading, and it just brought up a lot for me and makes me have a lot of faith, because anytime I've had problems in the program, I've usually forgotten my higher power or God. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot God. And I even have a God can, right? Put stuff in the God can. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Maya K. And David M., please share with us. David, maybe we're having trouble with star one this morning.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you call me.
There you are.
Well, I was waiting for you. You're waiting for me there. David, I'm here. Glad to be here. I love this program, especially this meeting that you're here. I've been off the boat, floating on my own little raft, my own little raft that was getting me nowhere. And I tried, you know, getting over to that boat, and I'll get off, and then. I would get on and then fall off, and just be, I was on a seven month binge of just every day just eating out, and I couldn't take it anymore. I needed the program. I needed the fellowship. I needed the 10 steps. Those the 10 steps really, well, to call a fellow and just do a fellowship and call somebody for a 10 step, it really helped. And also go on to meetings. Like, I was going to meetings with my wife. My wife is also in LA. Going to meetings every day. I stopped watching YouTube, which was very, took me away from, took me away from, like, everything. It kept me in my addiction also. And because I grew up looking, watching TV and wanting to eat. So every time I watched YouTube, I wanted to eat. And I had to get that out. And then I just delved right into a program. And that's all I did is listen to podcasts and went to meetings and in-person meetings. And it's really helpful in fellowship. And it can't just, it's not just one thing. It's not just fellowship, not just meetings, it's not just the big book. You gotta have them all three together. And a meal plan, so that's four, you know. Meal plan for me, meal plan, fellowship, big book, and meetings. It's like you take one of those, it's like a chair. You take one of those out, it falls. You have to have a solid chair, legs. You know, and you keep up on them, and it really helps. And then, anyway, so I'm really grateful for this meeting. It saved my marriage. This program saved my marriage and saved my health. I was in and out of the hospital, and I'm really grateful for it. So I just want to share that. Okay.
Thank you, David M. And we are on page 17, on the second paragraph that begins, "We are average Americans," and ends, "As we are now joined." Comments on that one paragraph, and who else would like to share this morning?
Jennifer C.
Oh, I heard Jennifer and somebody else.
Anita.
Amy.
Jay.
Thank you. Thank you, Anita. I have Jennifer C., Anita J., Amy G. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go with Jennifer C., followed by Anita J.
Hey, good morning. Can I be heard?
You can.
Okay, good. Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So a couple things. First of all, something that stuck out to me in this sentence, we are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue, right? One of my main problems as a recovered compulsive overeater is that I lose sight of that moment, right? Like the moment after rescue, the moment after rescue, not weeks after rescue, not months after rescue, but the moment after rescue. How desperate would I be to save the people that are still in the water, right? I get out, the first thing I do is I try to save the other people that are still in the water. And I have a tenacity for it. I have a fire for it. The moment after rescue, I'm just thankful to be alive, right? I'm just thankful to be alive. The simplicity of that. And what happens is, as a recovered woman, is I lose sight of that so easily. I get selfish, I get self-centered, and I forget. And that's why it is so critical that I stay in this work, because that keeps me in the moment after rescue. When I work with other compulsive overeaters, it helps remind me over and over and over again what it was like to be in the shipwreck and how I can go back there, right? I could go back there if I don't continue to surrender my will and my life to God every day. One of the things that I find interesting is the number one cause of shipwreck is fog. And, you know, I think about the fact that, you know, I can't see what I can't see, right? Solitary self-appraisal. I can't live like that. I can't stay in my own head trying to figure things out. It gets really foggy. And I have to stay connected to you all. I have to allow you to help me over and over again. And that's one of the other things that I can't lose sight of, right? This self-reliance can be my number one addiction. I got this. I can figure this out. I don't have this. I need all of you. I need the power of God constantly. Otherwise, it gets pretty foggy. And so thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you all for being part of this solution. We have each other, and we never lose sight of that, hopefully one day at a time. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. And Anita J., you're up, followed by Amy G.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Anita J., and I'm recovered out in Massachusetts. You know, way back, I think it was 1969. Oh, my goodness. Two things came to my area in Massachusetts. One was the diet workshop, and the other was Overeaters Anonymous. And I delayed my own recovery for years because I picked Overeaters Anonymous. I didn't pick it. I picked the other one. And I had such a good time there. I became a lecturer, and everybody would laugh. I'd come up with clever little things. And if somebody just told me it was 1966, thank you, dear. I would leave there feeling on top of the world and then eat. It was not a solution. It wasn't a solution. It was not taking me away from any common peril. Yes, we all had something in common, but the solution wasn't in those rooms. Not for a true addict like me, which maybe I didn't want to know about that. But finally, thank you, God, I did. And even with that, I learned an awful lot, repaired some damage, but it wasn't until February 4th, 2014, isn't that something, 2014, that I finally surrendered and began living this way of life, that every day, I know I got rescued. I got rescued. I got saved in me inside. Just this terrible pain, thinking I'm no good. That was all what I call smoke. They were just lies, lies, lies. And I have learned that my higher power loves me, all of me, and that I've learned to love all of me, which has certainly helped me be a better sponsor. And with that, listen, you guys, you are the best. And that's all. Pass.
Thank you, Anita J. And Amy G., please share with us.
Am I up?
You're up.
Oh, okay, great. I was unmuting. Thanks. Thanks so much, everyone, for an awesome meeting. Thanks, everyone, for your service. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Maryland. So obviously, we're talking about the fellowship here, and we were in the prior paragraph, the power of the we of the program. But as others have said, it is but one element. That's what he said. That's what's written here, you know, shared in a common peril is one element. But wow, what a powerful element. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but when I walk into a meeting or I get on the phone, this idea of the fellowship, I don't see political, economical, social, or religious background. I see the power of identification. I see hope. I mean, it is an incredible element to my program of recovery is the fellowship, but it is but one. And it's interesting. I'm thinking about this. I don't know if Bill laid it out this way or not, but when we look at the logo of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a triangle. It's a three-sided object. And when you look at your medallions, when you get a medallion, it says unity, recovery, and service. So to me, unity is all about the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. Together we could do what we could never do alone. Recovery, but it goes beyond that. It's not just sharing in the common peril that we're bound and that I'm bound to you. It's in the recovery process of what this program is about, which is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous that connects us to the power greater than ourselves so that we can recover. And then service. Of course, service is how I'm additionally bond you. We not only share in the peril, we share in our bond in recovery and in giving back. I am bound to you by my gratitude for you saving, helping me, pointing me to the steps and to God, and then in return, giving back, creating that message and that vehicle of recovery back to someone else who's still suffering. To me, that's so that to me, what puts the triangle together, so to speak. And I also looked up the word cement because I wanted to know, what are the elements? What are the raw materials of cement that is so, you know, that binds us? Why is he using this, right? I love looking stuff up in Webster's Dictionary. And the three raw elements are limestone and clay. And the binding element, that third element, is water. So when you take a look at unity, recovery, and service, I like to think that those are the elements. Those are the three main elements that bind me, you know, that bind us together in this incredible journey of recovery, where we have a common solution, if I sneak ahead there, where we have a common solution and a powerful, powerful program of 12 steps that can lead us to recovery. So grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy G. from Maryland. And so it looks like we probably have time for three more shares. Would anyone else like to share this morning?
Patrick O.
Patrick O.
Melissa.
I heard Melissa, and who else?
Monique F.
Monique. Okay, so I have Patrick O, Melissa, and Monique. You'll have to give me the first initial of your last name. Patrick O, you're up, followed by Melissa.
Hello, Patrick O, compulsive eater from Nashville, Tennessee. I am focusing on the sentence about our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. What I'm thinking, I wanted to share a little experience I've just had last week, and that of my own devices, I basically am a shipwreck. And if I, you know, self-will run riot. And my sponsor, she's so special. She keeps saying the words surrender, 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 and work with others, help others. And I've been, you know, I'm not sponsoring anybody yet, but I'm interpreting working with others as just continuing to make calls and continuing to go into meetings. And I have been traveling a lot for work, and I've been having some cravings. And all I keep doing is keep reaching out to people. And I've had three in different cities going to meetings, AA meetings, but I would walk in feeling kind of lonely, scared, having the cravings, and I'd walk out feeling joy each time. It just happened again last night. I drove into the city. I was tired. It's been a long day. And I was starting to have some certain cravings, and I thought, you know what? Let me see if there's a meeting. And I found a meeting about 2 miles away. It started in 30 minutes, and I went in there, and they were doing a big book study. So I just wanted to share that experience of how no matter where I'm at, I can avoid disaster by leaning into the program, leaning into the altruistic part of the program. And that's all. I just wanted to share some gratitude about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick O. And Melissa, you're up. Please give us the first initial of your last name, followed by Monique.
My name is Melissa, B as in Bravo, and I'm calling from And I like the shipwreck analogy. I'm new to this program. I've been involved in another program for the last few years. And I'm remembering back to several years ago, I was trying to get help on it. And I was like, my counselor encouraged me to 12 steps, and I just remember my initial reaction ended, and how can you think that I can't do this on my own? And it took me a long time. I've got a thick head, but I finally am at a place now where I do know that I can others, that I should be thinking if I try to do it on my own. And so that's what I'm reflecting on this morning. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Melissa B. And Monique, please share with us.
Come on, Sam. I'm on me care, a compulsive overeater. And Mrs. Fancy, I get on this line and can't help but share like things God has done for me since I've gotten a sponsor in Diva. Just to state where I am, like I rebel a little bit about getting on the line and so many people, but it's like I'm a little fish in a big pond. But to hear the things, like to feel the power that I feel when I get on the line, is like crazy, wow. And so like with the reading and what I heard, what's coming up for me was when I heard somebody talk about that moment after rescue. And I remember sitting in my bed, I was 400 pounds, and the moment I knew that something had hit me and changed, and talked about you turn around and you go get the other folks, you know, the other victims of the shipwreck. And I went back and I got my kids. I lost custody of my kids, alcohol and pills, and sober wasn't going to cut it. But when I got abstinent and I learned how to feed and take care of myself through the power of God, I had to go back and get the other victims and my kids for the victims of my disease. And I also heard somebody talk about them, like the selfishness and the complacency. You know, I don't wear a 5X. I tried on a little pink dress in Walmart yesterday. I'm on a budget now, so I couldn't get the little dress, but I tried on a small yesterday, and that dress looked amazing, and I felt amazing. And, you know, so here I am. I went back and got my kids, and I shared on this line, and I'm doing the services God allows me to do it. And but then I complained that it's all three of us, and we got all this laundry, and why don't they do the dishes? And this today reminds me that, you know, there is joy and peace and spirituality and providing service to my kids and going to baseball games and going to boxing matches and, you know, riding the expressway through abstinence. God is here with me through all of these things. And these are things to complain about. These are things to grow through and just be excited about. And, you know, I didn't have stable living relations before I got abstinent. Like I said, I didn't have my voice. And as I was doing my laundry yesterday, I was just folding up and just watching how my kids are growing. And sometimes when I was doing my washing and laundry, I'd be like, where is the rest of this baby clothes? Like, is he just wearing one outfit? You know, that was when I first got custody of him back. And now, you know, 3 years later, I'm looking and he got Nike checks and he got all these different outfits. And like, I was just thinking about God. He just loves to see his children grow or her children grow. And because I was just smiling, and my older son, my 17-year-old, he got clothes that I didn't even buy because he got a job now and he got a savings account now. And like he got stuff that he's getting for himself. And as I was thinking about it, my God, I was just reminding me, I love to see you grow. I love to see you recover. I love to hear you think about being recovered. And
time.
I'm just glad. Thank you. I'm just glad to be here this morning. Thank you for letting me share. Okay.
Monique, will you give me the first initial of your last name? I missed it. Well, thank you, Monique, from Memphis, Tennessee. And we do have time for one more share, 1.5 minutes. Would anyone like to take it, please?
Mary B.
Thank you, Mary. Please share with us.
I was struck by the very opening of this reading that we are average Americans. And one of the best things for me in my recovery is when being reminded by Bill's words that I'm not greater than nor less than, I just am. So being an average, being average is really helpful to me. It keeps me from swinging wide to one side or the other. Life is not horrid, I'm not the worst, et cetera. And I frequently remind myself, be a worker among workers. And it, somehow that just kind of pulls me in to the simplicity, really, of the program of have a relationship with higher power, my higher power, surrender, learn new behaviors, clean up the wreckage of the past, and be of service, and just be average. And it's such a relief to just be able to be average and to know that that is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. That helped me a great deal. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary B., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,365. That's 21365. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Nancy R., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Happy to do so. Thank you. Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in